be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin.
He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them.
ヘブル人への手紙11章23節から28節。信仰によってモーセは生まれてから両親によって3ヶ月の間隠されていました。彼らはその子の美しいのを見たからです。彼らは王の命令をも恐れませんでした。信仰によってモーセは成人した時、パロの娘の子と呼ばれることを拒み、儚い罪の楽しみを受けるよりはむしろ神と共に苦しみことを選び取りました。彼はキリストのゆえに受けるそしりをエジプトの宝に勝る大きな富と思いました。彼は報いとして与えられるものから目を離さなかったのです。信仰によって彼は王の怒りを恐れないでエジプトを立ち去りました。目に見えない方を見るようにして忍び通したからです。信仰によってウイゴを滅ぼす者が彼らに触れることのないように、彼は杉越と血の注ぎとを行いました。
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love, your patience, your kindness. Father, we thank you that we could come here to worship you, to give you the praise, glory, and honor that you deserve. We ask that you would increase, Lord, your awareness, our awareness of you, your presence, Lord, in this place. We ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. You would convict our hearts. You would, Lord, refocus our eyes. And that, Lord, you would have your way with us. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good to see all of you here. It's the Hall of Faith. We're going through the book of Romans. And we're going to look at Moses' life. So pop quiz. I know you guys like quizzes. Pop quiz. We'll start easy. So Moses, who was Moses' brother, older brother? Aaron. Oh, good. Actually, Moses has an older sister. Moses was the youngest of three. Who was Moses'? Miriam. Oh, wow. If you get this right, I might not preach today. So who was Moses' parents' names? Oh, yeah, right? His parents. What? His parents?
Mom and dad.
Well, I didn't know either, so I had to look it up this morning. I was like, wait. You know, it talks about our scripture passage. It talks about his parents. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Say that again.
Jochebed?
Is that the mother or father?
Mother.
Oh, wow. And the father was? Okay. Julie, if you would have pulled through, I would have just ended it here. We would have prayed. We would have gone home. But good try. No, Jochebed was the mother's name, and Amram is the father's name. Those are the two that's being mentioned here in our scripture passage. And if the Bible is consistent, perhaps their reward is a lot greater than Moses' reward. Because we all know Moses. Moses gets all the praise here on earth. But, Jochebed and Amram, no one ever mentions them. Three great kids. They raised three great kids. Miriam grew up to be a great prophetess of the Lord. Aaron, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, priest of the Lord. And Moses, one of the greatest... reformers, if you will. What should I call them? Leaders of Israel, of the Lord. Those three, these two parents, we don't even know the names of, raised these two godly men and women, and we see a little bit what it took for them. And in our scripture reading today, it says, by faith, Moses was hidden by his parents for 3 months after his birth because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. As we look at Moses' life through the lens of what faith is, so this whole chapter, chapter 11, is a chapter about what faith is, and these are some of the lives where faith, we could draw examples of what faith is through their lives. And faith is, through Moses' life, even Moses, before he could even make a decision on his own, faith affected his life. Faith affected his life. Faith is something that is tangible and something that takes that action. Faith is tangible and it takes action. What do I mean when I say faith is tangible? You know, we all know faith is invisible, right? We can't really necessarily see it or touch it or feel it, but it's tangible. Such as, for those of you who do any teaching, listening is tangible, right? When you're up there teaching, you know when someone's listening, you know when someone's not listening. Silence is sometimes tangible. What do I mean by that? Silence can be tangible when it's on purpose and you're engaged in it. Have you ever been engaged in silence? The difference between engaged silence and unengaged silence, let me try to act it out for you. Unengaged silence looks like this. You're just daydreaming. Engaged silence is probably like this. You see that? You see the difference? You see the difference? Faith is tangible. The parents saw that Moses was, and it says, some of the translation says, beautiful. Moses was beautiful. I mean, that's their kid. Of course their kid is beautiful. Anyone who has had kids will say their kid is beautiful, even when they're not. Sorry. The first time I saw a newborn baby, I was not ready. I thought all babies were beautiful, but my friend, he had a child, and she was a couple of, I think maybe a couple weeks old or something. You know, it was a very newborn. And I go, and I look at the baby, and I was like, I was shocked. My mouth dropped. I didn't know what to do, you know. She was kind of discolored. She needed some lotion. And this is just, it's like, oh, I was not ready for that. And my friend said, she's beautiful, right? And I said, I didn't say anything. He had to ask twice. And I said, of course, yeah, she's beautiful. But Moses, there was something about him. He was beautiful. He was beautiful enough where the parents took action, took civil disobedience action, and hid the baby for 3 months. And this is their parents' faith. They knew that there was something special about Moses, where God wanted Moses alive, and they risked their own lives by practicing civil disobedience. If you don't know the story, at the time, there was just so many Hebrew babies being born that there was an edict out there, every male child, kill it. Every male child, kill it. Thank God for some God-fearing Egyptian handmaid. They didn't go through with it 100%. And here in Moses' case, they did not go through with it, and Moses was alive. I believe the parents had faith. But I believe when I say they had faith, they had a conviction that God wanted Moses alive. And I'm sure, you know, they were a godly family. They had a conviction. There was something special over Moses' life. They didn't know what it was, probably. But they knew it was special. In fact, if their parents are godly and have faith, I'm sure in their lifetime, during their lifetime, they had the conviction that God will deliver them out of the situation they were in Egypt, under slavery, under oppression. Our God is a great God, and this condition will not last. God is going to deliver us somehow, some way. And when they had Moses, their last born, they were probably thinking there's something special about this kid. Probably not knowing this will be the Savior, the Deliverer. In a lot of ways, you know, Jesus and Moses' lives, very, very similar. But I believe the phrase, they were not afraid of the king's edict, could mean that their parents were supernaturally in a place of divine peace. You know, when you're in doing God's will, sometimes that divine peace of God comes upon you, and no matter what the circumstances is, it doesn't affect you. You've ever been in that place before?
Yes.
Good for you. Good for you. I hope all of us can one day be in that place. Be in a place, circumstantially, it's dangerous. Circumstantially, it's not perfect. Circumstantially, there's all the reason to be stressed out, but the peace of God is on our lives because we're doing the will of God. Or, you know, when it says they weren't afraid of the king's edict, it could be that they were more afraid of what would happen if they just ignored God's prompting over the king's edict. You know, they had a choice to make. They saw the child, beautiful. They probably knew something was on that child, and they had the conviction from God, you should not kill your child. And so even though there was an edict from Pharaoh, the king's edict, they were more afraid of what would happen to them by God if they disobeyed. You know, whichever the case, though, faith oftentimes leaves us with decisions to make, roads to choose. And it's not just an intellectual decision to make. You know, it's not an intellectual agreement to certain doctrine that God wants us to make. These are real hard decisions we need to make. When faith gets a hold of us, we're left with decisions. You ever had that in your life? Where you could either choose to ignore God or do something so crazy that it could cost you your life? I'm sure none of us, we're so blessed in America, none of us usually have to make that decision. It's whether do I watch, you know, the NBA finals or do I go do something good, you know? Okay, sorry. That's just me. Yeah, seriously, we are so blessed to be in America. That our, you know, our decisions, the hard decisions we oftentimes have to make, fails in comparison to what the Bible oftentimes is talking about. You know, I don't think any of us, maybe one or two of us, has had to make life-threatening decisions for the gospel. But that's not the case all over the world. Just to let you know, there are Christians all over the world that makes life-altering decisions. Cost them their lives, their kids' lives, cost them their business, cost them, you know, everything. But faith will oftentimes leave us with hard choices and decisions to make. And I want to talk about that. I'll talk about that later. Let's move on, though. It says, by faith, Moses. Now we get into Moses' life. When he grew up, he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered abuse suffered for the Christ to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the reward. Moses' parents, their faith saved Moses from death. Moses ends up growing up as Pharaoh's daughter's son. You guys all probably heard the movie title Prince of Egypt. He was like a prince of Egypt. He grew up as royalty. All the way up until adult, it seems like Moses enjoyed the privilege of living as an elite in one of the greatest society ever created, while his fellow kinsmen were subject to slavery. Now, imagine that for a second. I don't think many of us have ever lived that lifestyle. I certainly have not. Although, you can make the argument, if you're living in America, then you are an elite, globally. Globally, you know, if you have clean water, you have clean food, guess what? Millions and millions of people don't have that. They don't have that. It's so weird. Like, if you're going to go to the grocery store today and you have enough credit to buy anything you want, consider yourself blessed. Because it's not like that all over the world. But here Moses, he grows up in royalty and he finds out, somewhere along the line, he finds out, you know what? My people are under slavery while I'm here enjoying the things of Egypt. I don't know what they had. They probably had like slides down the pyramid, you know, before. No, just kidding. They probably had a lot of things going on that he enjoyed. You know, and let me just say, Moses' situation is kind of complicated, right? Because prior to Moses, there was another great man in the history of God's people named Joseph. And Joseph was like a prince of Egypt as well. And Joseph enjoyed all the pleasures of Egypt as well. And with that in mind, Moses probably could have easily been like, you know what, this is God's blessing on my life. A lot of people looking for God's blessing is looking to be where Moses was at. Carefree, just had anything he wanted at the tip of his fingertips. Nothing to worry about in terms of, you know, finances. Finances were taken. He probably lived in luxury. A lot of Christians, we're looking for that too, right? That's sort of the goal as some of us as Christians, is to be at that place where nothing, there's nothing that we need to worry about. Everything's good, or as the young people put it, everything is Gucci, you know. Sorry, man. Alright, I'm just trying to connect with you guys. Everything is great. Had the nicest car. All the channels on television you want. Everything. Heck, you know, if you're the prince of Egypt, you're probably out there on the basketball court and they're letting you score. They're letting you, like, win the races. They're giving you awards for no reason. Getting free merch, all that stuff. And Moses is finally saying, hey, you know, this isn't right. There's something wrong with this picture. Good for Moses. For Moses, that wasn't the case. He did not justify anything. He did not justify his position. You know, at Moses' place, it was probably more likely to make reform as the prince of Egypt than as a common slave, right? You would think that. You know what? My people, they need to be saved. Let me just start writing up some draft, or let me get into the Pharaoh's ear. I'm close to Pharaoh, all these other... He could have made so many excuses and not left the comforts and pleasures of Egypt. And probably made some differences. Honestly, he probably could have made some differences as the son of Egypt's daughter. He didn't. He knew it was wrong. One, he knew it was wrong. Two, he knew he needed to do something. He didn't justify his position. He didn't justify anything. Instead, it says he chose to share in the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Just a side note, sin is desirable. If it weren't, it wouldn't be tempting. Nobody would choose sin if it didn't do anything for us. But sin also has a price tag attached to it. The biggest price we will pay, if that is that if we choose sin, we will forfeit the greater wealth, rewards, and riches that is in Christ. That's what the scripture said. He said he rather chose ill treatment forfeit the pleasures of sin so that he could gain the reward that is in Christ Jesus. What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for us? No, is it, you know, I don't know if there's any Moseses in here. Moseses in here. I don't know if there's any Moseses in here. But perhaps there are some Moses' parents in here. Gotta look up their names again. Perhaps there are some Jochebeds and Amrams in here that can make a difference, that makes a difference that changes the world. We may never be Moses, but there are, I believe, some Jochebeds and Amram in here. And when it comes to what are the things of this world that we need to choose between, it's really hard when we're in it. You know, hindsight, they say hindsight is 20/20. It's easy to look back in history and say, oh yeah, the church should have stood with them. Oh, I'm glad the church stood on that side of that issue, or the church took that stand. While we're in it, though, it's so difficult. You know, when Martin Luther King stood up to civil injustice, there were leaders within the church that told him, hey, you need to tone it down. You should wait a little bit longer. And in fact, there were churches on the wrong side of that. Of that issue. It's easy to see 2020 now that, you know, we're here and back there. Of course we should have stood up. Of course we should have marched. Of course we should have said something. But while we're in the situation, it's so difficult. In fact, there's stuff that's blinding us. Distractions. So what is it today that is so dark, but the church is blinded to? Honestly, I don't know. I don't have the answer. But I do say this. You know, one of our things about this church that I'm really pushing for is to become a healthy church. And one of the things about a healthy church that I've come to know is they think more outside of themselves rather than inwardly. You know, their resources, it goes out more than it does, it goes in more. And as we grow healthier, I do hope that we can be a church that tries to serve those that are in need. And we've taken baby steps. We've done Operation Christmas Child, and Juno leads that. And I don't know if this church did that before, but we started doing that a couple of years ago. And, you know, the church gets involved, and we make a couple shoe boxes for those during Christmas that don't get presents, and that's great. And not too long ago, we started doing manna bags. That's, you know, getting bags together to pass out to the homeless people instead of just trying to ignore them. And I think that's a great thing. There are some manna bags in the back. Please take some with you. And those are baby steps. And I hope we continue to progress to try to touch those outside of the four walls of this church. I think that's a sign of a healthy church. And some of the darkness, the darkest things in this world, oftentimes go unreported by the larger media. In fact, the narrative of the larger media, whichever side you're on, they'll probably just skip it altogether. You know, we have a refugee crisis, right? I don't know too much about these things. But, you know, Tucson is one of the places where they send a lot of refugees. As a church, we can get involved. We can get involved in these lives. Or we could choose to ignore it. You know, it's a choice between, do I want to give up my evening? You know, soccer's on. I'm not a big soccer fan, but, you know, it's the World Cup, so you kind of have to watch it. After soccer, there's football. I still watch football, even though they're taking knees. And then after football, it's basketball. And then after basketball, the Olympics are coming up. And, you know, it's easy to make these unwise decisions when the world is so full of darkness. So I started reading this book called The Locus Effect. You guys heard that book before? The Locus Effect. It's about how violence, the correlation between violence and poverty. And you can't separate the two. But it's just stories after stories after stories of gross injustice. And one of the biggest injustice in this world that this book is highlighting is human trafficking. Human trafficking is like a $35 billion industry. Billion, worldwide. They say about 40 million people are affected by human trafficking. Let me just read what it says. Oh, man. 1 in 4 are children. And this is happening in our lifetime. Now, I don't think JCCT is Moses, per se. But I do think JCCT can play the role of a Jochebed or our mom. Maybe just save one kid. And who knows, maybe that one kid can become a Moses. But it's crazy that the church, we don't even talk about these things a lot of times. In fact, some of the biggest things that the church we talk about are doctrinal issues. That's our biggest fight. Doctrinal issues. Really? You don't believe in prophecy, we believe in prophecy. You don't believe in healing, we believe in healing. Great. You know what? That's great. You could believe in healing. You don't have to believe in healing. But let's believe that there is darkness in this world, that the world, that the gospel needs to go and shine light on. Let's choose to, for a second, lay down the pleasures of sin and take up the cause of justice. To do the things that Jesus would want us to do. To be his hands and feet. You know, sin is desirable. It's blinding. It's tempting. It's titillating. It's exciting at the moment. And most of us will live our lives just drunk on sin. Especially in America. And our biggest problems, what's our biggest problems? I can't believe they gave me that speeding ticket. Or that parking ticket. Oh, I can't believe my neighbors are so mean to me. Sorry, some of you have mean neighbors. I know, that's hard. It's not easy. I know we have problems. I'm not trying to minimize your problems. I have problems too. And, you know, those are things that suck our energies away from what's really important. But really, in comparison to what's going on around the world, I do hope that we could be appreciative and grateful where God has placed us. But not make the excuse of, you know, God placed me here, let me just sign some petitions here, make some phone calls here. But, and you know, that honestly, that may be what God is calling us to. But we need to be more aware of what's going on. And I think some of the biggest issues today that the church is facing are some of these things that we don't even talk about and we don't even care about. And so as we become healthier at the church, I want to start bringing up more resources where we can get involved. And I hope the church will get involved. July 15th, I believe, at this church, not our church, but you know, our Savior's, they're going to hold a meeting on how to reach out to the refugees that are relocated here. And so hopefully some of us, we could attend that. We could learn how can we help those refugees instead of going, you know, hundreds of miles to do something. They're coming at our doorsteps. They're coming here. And we could reach the we could reach them with the love of Christ, with the gospel that has touched our life. Anyways, going on, it says, by faith, Moses eventually leaves Egypt unafraid of the king's anger, for he persevered as though he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Moses eventually leaves Egypt and leads Israel out of bondage and slavery of Egypt as well. And of course, this is all recorded in the book of Exodus, and so we won't go through all the details here and how difficult it was to get out. But here's a couple of things. But there was a couple of things that needed to happen before Moses and Israel was led out of Egypt. It was not easy. It wasn't just like boom, boom, boom. The story makes it seem pretty easy, but it's going to take hard work. Saying no to sin is going to cost us something. It cost Moses everything. In the Bible, Egypt will eventually come to symbolize the world. And as Christians, our first steps into walking in faith will be to deny the pleasures of this world, eventually leading to leaving this world. How attached are you to this world? I'm not talking about the good thing that God so loved this world, but I'm talking about, when I say the world, the evil pleasures of this world that feeds off of and preys on the weak. Forty million and 1 in 4 are children. Industry fed by this world. If there was no market for it, it would not be this big. If the church would stand up and do something, it would not be this big. The churches are doing something, and I hope we can also be involved in some way. In some way. But the key ingredients were faith in God. When Moses escaped Egypt and took Israel out, the key ingredients, faith in God. Supernatural provision in God. With those two things, faith in God, supernatural provision in God, I don't think anything is impossible. As people with faith in God here today, when we begin to walk in faith in God, you will begin to see the supernatural provision of God. And I believe this billion-dollar industry can be defeated. Nothing is impossible. They thought Egypt couldn't be defeated. But it started with two parents noticing this beautiful baby. Let's just protect it for 3 months and see what happens. I don't know if they ever got to see Moses grow up to be the man of God he was. And I don't know if we will ever see that as well. But all it takes is just courage enough to say, you know what? This is worth dying for. I don't know where it's going to lead, but let's do it. This is the right thing. I hope as we walk with Christ and we see those things in our lives, we will choose what is right. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for Moses' parents, who were the hidden heroes of this story. We thank you for Jochebed. We thank you for Amram. And I pray, Father, in this small group here, you could raise up some Jochebeds and Arams. Lord, that we could be men and women of faith that has eyes to see when you make things beautiful, and the courage to follow through, no matter how small that may be. Father, we desire to be people that worships you, pleases you, honors you, and that you are well pleased with. Lord, even now I pray that you would convict our hearts of the pleasures of sin that are taken away, Lord, from the things you want us to do. We live in such great luxury, and we praise you, Father. But we don't want to get drunk off of this, Lord. We want to be vigilant. We want to be sober. We want to know, Lord, when you're calling us. Lord, we pray that you would continue to lead us and guide us. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I do